Well, I did want to kind of reinforce some stuff. We've been talking about how to have hearts that were receptive to God, that we would be able to hear from God. And someone gave me the great idea of spelling it into a word. And so a heart that is receptive to the kingdom is, and we talked about having ears to hear, A-E-A-R-S. And each of those letters is one of the four things that we talked about how we listen. And that a heart that is receptive listens in that way. And so, pop quiz time. Does anyone remember what the E stands for? Expectant. Who expected that? So expectant listening, that we're actually, God wants to speak to us. We're expecting him to. How about the A? Anyone remember the A?
Anxious.
Anxious. They're anxious to hear from him. We not only expect to hear from God, but we desperately need to. We're anxious. We're looking forward to hearing from God. How about the R? Refined. You guys took notes or something. Or you're just that much more caffeinated than the last group. But anyway, refined. And by refined, we mean kind of like when you have a refining fire, you purify. And so you kind of put your filters up to all the other noise, all the other voices, and so you can hear the Lord. And then S, submissive. You guys get 100% for the second service. Woo! Submissive listening, where you listen, intending to obey. So we're going to keep moving forward in our study of the Gospel of Mark chapter 5, 1 through 20. And we're going to be talking about kingdom freedom today. And I want to read through this passage first, and then going to be presenting a message that's a little different than what I usually do, which you may be glad or not. I don't know. But let me tell you before I start that, too, after the sermon, we're going to have a song, and they're going to close out the service, and I'm going to give you a little bit of time to get some refreshments and chat a little. But then after a few moments, I'm going to call you back. Because we do have a kind of a special announcement. Talked a little bit about it last week, but I didn't have all the details for you. But we did want to present to you an opportunity that we have as a church relating to our facility. And so we're going to be able to present to you all the details that we know so that you can be praying and thinking and giving us feedback. And so I'm just telling you that now so that as soon as we say amen, you don't like beeline it out. We'd love for you all to stay and hear what's going on and be praying what's going on and give your input. And you need to stay to know that if you really can't or don't want to, you're like, I don't care what, you know, then just don't complain later. And that's fine. You know, you can leave, but I want to hear later that how come I didn't know about this? Because we'll make sure that everyone has every opportunity to know about it. But that said, let's jump into Mark chapter 5. And this starts right off our last passage in Mark. You remember Jesus was preaching in the boat and teaching. And then he says, hey, let's cross the lake. And so he goes and takes a little nap in the back of the boat. And the wind kicks up and the waves kick up. And his disciples are freaking out. And they wake him up saying, don't you care? And he says, peace, be still. And the lake goes calm. And they make it to the other side. It says they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gerasenes. And when Jesus had stepped out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit. And he lived among the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been bound with shackles and chains. But he wrenched the chains apart, and he broke the shackles in pieces, and no one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always crying out and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and fell down before him. And crying out with a loud voice, he said, what have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you, by God, do not torment me. For he was saying to him, come out of the man, you unclean spirit. And Jesus asked him, what is your name? And he replied, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he begged him earnestly not to send them out of the country. Now a great herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. And they begged him, saying, send us to the pigs, let us enter them. And so he gave them permission, and the unclean spirits came out and entered the pigs. And the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank into the sea and drowned in the sea. And the herdsmen fled and told it in the city and in the country, and people came to see what has happened. And they came to Jesus and saw the demon-possessed man, the one who had had the legion, sitting there, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who had seen it described to them what had happened to the demon-possessed man and to the pigs. And they began to beg Jesus to depart from their region. As he was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed with the demons begged him that he might be with him. And he did not permit him, but said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and everyone marveled. What we're going to do this morning, and I need your help, we're going to take a little trip to the Decapolis. And this is called a first-person narrative sermon, which means I'll be telling this story again, but through the eyes of one of the characters. And so I will need your help. You guys are going to be the set builders and the costume designers. So we're going to, in a moment, I'm going to have you close your eyes, and you're going to put on your imagination caps, and you're going to imagine this being a shop in the Decapolis in the first century, and you're going to imagine me being dressed as a shopkeeper in the Decapolis in the first century, whatever that looks like. I'm a, you know, a conservative shopkeeper, so don't give me a little tiny toga. None of us will sleep tonight. But let's close our eyes for a moment and set the scene. Welcome, my friends. What can I help you with? Can I a vase, perhaps? Travelers, I see you're looking for directions. You can't be looking for directions to the colonnade. You must have walked right through it on your way in. What amazing architecture we have here in the Decapolis. Since Pompeii united the 10 cities, it's been amazing. So you've seen the colonnade, the library, perhaps. Are you looking for the library? Do you know that Miletus himself was from the Decapolis? He was the very first to write satire, long before Saturnus Noctis Live started doing their skits. You're not looking for the library. Perhaps you're looking for the school. Do you know Caesar himself was educated by Theodorus' school early on in his life? Perhaps you're not looking for the school. Plumbing? What's plumbing? You've never seen plumbing? We have plumbing. See, it's as if the water comes into your home, and then when you're done with it, it goes out of your home. You've not seen that, huh? We have plumbing in the Decapolis. It's an amazing city. Yeah, we have the temples too, but I would not recommend you go to any of those, the temples. But so now looking for any of the... What are you looking... Oh, him. The demoniac of the Decapolis. You're looking... You've heard those rumors, have you? Well, I can help you find him. Drusus, at your service. Yeah, me. I'm the demoniac. Well, I was. I'm not him anymore. Well, thank you. Thank you for saying that. It is, I'm glad I don't look like a demonically possessed monster anymore. It really is bad for business. Would you like to hear my story? Thank you. Thank you, curious traveler. As a young man, I was in a fairly wealthy family. My father was a merchant, owned this shop, by the way. Please don't leave without taking a look at our merchandise. But we were fairly well off in this city, in the Decapolis. Many people come here from all nations, the Greeks and the Romans and even some Egyptians and all kinds of religions, and it all kind of converges here, and we made a very good business, which allowed me to learn and go to school, and it gave me some free time that most people don't have. And so in my free time, I began to explore some of the religions around here. And I started with the Greeks, and those temples are so beautiful, and I was just attracted to them, particularly Dionysus and Demeter. And I would go and I would worship there. And it sounds great, you know, that a devout young man would worship at the temple, but I'll be honest with you, worship there was a little different. See, they would have their big festive parties, and the wine would flow, and the women and men would be there, and the orgies, and I would participate in all of that. And for a young man of that age, I thought, look at all the freedom, all that I got to enjoy, and say that I was being religious. It's a very interesting word, religious. Religio in the Latin of the Romans means to bind. And I thought that I was experiencing all this freedom, all this pleasure, when in reality, I was slowly being bound. And I wanted more. And so I got more involved, not only in the religions of the Greeks and the Romans, but also there were some Egyptians practicing the cult of Isis in town. And so I began entering more into the mystery religions of Isis and Demeter. And we would use narcotics to enter a trance. And from that trance, we would try to hear the voices of the gods. And I began to hear the voices of the gods. I could hear them speaking to me. And I would do it more and more. And I felt like, oh, I'm being exposed to the voices of God. What freedom, what power. But somehow, it was changing me. My friends, I began to withdraw from. My family, I began to withdraw from. I would spend more and more time in these temples, more and more time under the influence of the parties and the wine and the drugs and the trances. And I began to use some of the medallions and the magic that they would use. And I just needed more. I wanted to experience more of that power, more of that freedom. And there was even a dark group that I discovered that were practicing the religion that came before the Greeks and before the Romans, even before the Jews. No, I didn't try the religion of the Jews. Why not? One word, bacon. But let's get back on topic. See, before the Greeks and the Romans and the Jews, the Canaanites occupied this land and they worshiped Baal. And it was a dark religion. And I sought even into the secret, unknown to many people, but the religion of the Canaanites and the gods that they worshiped and the things that I did were dark and horrible. I won't even tell you about them. I will tell you that back when the Canaanites lived here, they didn't even stop short of sacrificing their own children to these gods. So I can show you the scars where I cut myself. And I began to cut myself in the trance. And more I heard the voices. And more the voices were telling me what to do. And I would lose track of myself. I would have these nightmares that I couldn't shake. I would wake up in places that I didn't remember getting to. I would have these blackouts. I would lose whole weeks of time and I didn't know what happened. My family no longer would talk to me. One time I woke up and I was tied up with ropes by my own family. And I didn't understand why, but it made me so angry that they would do that to me. And so I ripped them open. And then different times when I blacked out, I'd wake up. They even tried to chain me up. Not my family, but the people in the town were beginning to fear me. And they chained me with metal chains. And still, I was able to rip free of those because of the power that I had discovered. There were no chains that they could use that could bind me. Because what I didn't know was inside me, these gods were demons. And they were binding me with chains that I could never break. I belonged to them. They owned me. They would take me over. They would speak to me with their voices. And it came to the point where my feelings became their feelings. I wasn't even feeling what I felt anymore. I would feel their hate. I would feel their anger. I would feel their perverse lusts. I would feel all that they wanted me to feel. And it came to the point where I was living in the cemeteries because people couldn't have me around. People feared me. And these cemeteries were a place where I could desecrate that which what we hated the most, which is anything holy, anything sacred. And the cemetery that I spent the most time in, it overlooked the Sea of Galilee. And now and again, I'd see fishermen come up on our side of the lake. I'd see some of the Jews come up on that side of the lake. And that was the thing that delighted us the most, was to go and to torment them, particularly the religious ones. We loved to go and mock their God. And sometimes I'd beat them until they scrambled back into their boats. And I was filled with so much anger and so much hate. I wanted to destroy people. And it was them. They hated. They were filled with rage. They were filled with filth. and they filled me, and they hated me, and I knew it. But I was utterly under their control. I was not free until that day. You see, one day I was out up the hill above the cemetery looking down at the lake, and here came some boats, some more Jews, and some of them were clearly fishermen, and they were getting out of the boat, but there was one, and I couldn't understand the feelings I felt, because every time I'd ever seen a scene like this, the feelings that I felt were feelings of anger and of just despair, and feelings of hate and just wanting to run down there and destroy them. But the feelings that they were having now was fear. That's the one thing I had never felt since the demons came in, was fear. Who would I possibly fear? No one could overpower me. No one could chain me. And yet they feared this man. He wasn't a fisherman. He looked like a carpenter. They treated him like a rabbi. And the demons inside me, they wanted to run. They wanted to just get away, but they couldn't. They were compelled to him, and so I was compelled to him. And I ran, down through the cemetery, and I threw myself before him, and he was looking at me, calm as could be. The fisherman looked a little freaked out. But this man was calm as could be, and he said, "Leave him, unclean spirit." And he kept saying that, and the demons cried out of me, and they said, "You know, what would you have of us, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Please leave us." And he'd have none of that. He was like, "Leave. Unclean spirits, leave." And then he said, "What's your name?" And they spoke through me, and they said, "Our name is Legion, for we are many." And then they begged him. They said, "Don't send us out of the country. Send us to the pigs." And that's when he did it. This Jesus, you've heard of him. Yes, that one, the one the Romans killed. Trust me, he's still around. That was before this was before that happened, but he is still around. And he said, "Go." At that moment, all of the anger, all of the darkness, all of the hatred, all of the perversion, all of the filth that was inside me, that was possessing me through them for so long, it just left. I crumbled to the ground, and I saw the pigs out of the corner of my eye rushing into the sea as if someone was chasing them with a fire, the whale. I just felt peace. Felt peace and freedom. The freedom that I'd always been looking for, that I looked for in every single place. I finally felt that peace and that freedom. And I looked up, and Jesus was looking at me with love and with compassion. I can't remember the last time someone looked at me with love and with compassion. Every human I could remember had only looked at with me with fear and with disdain. And he looked at me. He said, "You're free, my son." And I was. He had broken every chain. And he sat me down, and he began to teach me how to stay free. And a crowd came out of the town. They wanted to see what happened with the pigs. And it was the first time I kind of looked around. I mean, the disciples had given me some robes to put on. And I was so focused on Jesus, I looked around. And here's this crowd coming in, the dead pigs floating in the Sea of Galilee. And the people were full of fear. And when they learned what happened, they went to Jesus and they said, "Leave our country." And I couldn't believe it. This man had freed me. This man was the first one who was able to break the chains. Everyone else could only try to bind me more. This man who had freed a man who had been possessed by over 2,000 demons, and all they could think about was the loss of their income from their pigs. And that's why, When I said, "Teacher, let me follow you," and I would have followed him to the end of the earth. He said, "No, go back to where you live. Tell people, tell your friends what God has done for you." And I realized that these people maybe didn't have demons, but they were in bondage as much as I was. They were in bondage to materialism. They were in bondage to all those temple religions. They were in bondage to their own selfishness. They were in bondage to many, many things. And Jesus was saying, "You have received freedom. Go tell them about the freedom that can be theirs." And so that's why I'm here. Yes, I sell vases. But I'm here to tell people my story. Is there something you need freedom from? Are there chains in your life that you need my Jesus to break? Are you free? Do you want peace? Do you know my Jesus? Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the stories that are in your word. I thank you that they're not just ancient stories, but they are truths. They are true today, that the Jesus who broke the chains of this demon-possessed man still breaks the chains in our lives today. Lord, I don't know what they are. I don't know where everyone stands in this room, but I know that even myself as a pastor, there are many times that I feel trapped by my emotions, by my fears, by situations. And I need to be reminded that we have freedom in Christ. And I know there are people in this room who even right now feel that they have chains in their life that need to be broken. I pray that they would put their trust in you. As that one song talks about, if you got chains, he's a chain breaker. Thank you. Thank you that the blood of Christ pays for every sin, that washes away every stain, that frees every man who's willing to put his trust in Jesus. I want to give you a moment now, as every week, to just simply quietly and hear the Holy Spirit speaking to you. Where are the chains in your life that he needs to break? What is the Holy Spirit saying to you? What is your Heavenly Father saying to you this morning? And what do you need to do to respond to the truth that he's speaking to your soul? Father, may we walk in freedom. And may we be the people that go back to those we know and tell them what God has done for us. Amen.